What must I do to inherit eternal life? There is no one who has left house or brother or sister, mother or father or children, who will not receive a hundredfold in this age and in the age to come eternal life. These two verses which we've heard in the Gospel today, with their references to eternal life, actually framed the Gospel reading, inheriting eternal life and in the age to come eternal life. When we think about eternal life, we imagine it way, way, way into the future, according to our linear view of history, past to present and to future. In Israel of the first century, however, a future reference like eternal life was imaginary. In a culture whose time process was cyclical rather than linear, and their main focus was on the present rather than a long-term future, that future imaginary, eternal life, reflected back into the present. And it was a present reality they were concerned about. How ought we live now? In other words, the reference to eternal life in today's gospel is about ethics. Ethics in the present rather than something about an unknown future. The man who questions Jesus in the gospel is asking the same sort of question which I suspect we ask ourselves over and over and over again. How must I live a good life? Am I living a good life? And interestingly, in response to the man's question, Jesus lists a number of the commandments. And his questioner says, you can almost hear in a disappointed way, but I've kept all of these from my youth. Let's listen for something of the familiar in those words of the questioner of Jesus. I suspect it's very descriptive of most of us who generally want to be good Christians. We attend church regularly, we pray regularly, and we generally say we live a good life. And if we test ourselves alongside of what Jesus' first response was to his questioner, we generally don't murder, generally don't commit adultery, steal or bear false witnesses. And I suspect most of us not only honour, but love and care for our parents. And so, like the rich young man, we could say, yes, I generally live a good life, and in parentheses we're probably thinking, and I'll probably go to heaven, at least I hope I will, I'll inherit eternal life. But the gospel doesn't end there. The challenge of today's gospel is that Jesus doesn't limit his invitation to the commandments. He sees the potential in this good man to take up an invitation that goes beyond just simply keeping commandments. He looks at the man, loves him because of the potential that he sees. And he invites him to examine his life even more carefully than just being able to tick off commandments. And he asks him to examine his life in the society that he lived in a society that was based on limited good. If I have possessions, more possessions than someone else, the assumption was that I had obtained them fraudulently. There was only a limited amount of good. If someone has more, that means someone else has less. And it's at the expense of the person who has less that the one has more. And so Jesus spells out for this man what he might do to be truly and fully ethical. He says, sell what you have and give to the poor and join the community around me where there was that ordering of resources. This is the way, he says to his questioner, towards eternal life, and it will reflect back into your present. But the gospel says the man was shocked and he went away sad because he had many possessions. And as I thought about this, I found myself saying, what does this mean to us today? What do we have at the expense of others that could be given or even returned to them? First, as in the gospel, we can look to our material possessions. How do we live simply in a material-rich culture so that everyone has what they need to live? Or will we too go away sad because we have many possessions? And what of our time? How do we give our time in an activity-rich culture in which there's such demands to be here, to be there, to do this, to do that, etc.? How will we make time available for those in need of another? Or do we go away sad because we have and hold our time to ourselves and for ourselves? And what of our very person? How will we give of ourselves in love, in relationship, in a world which is supposedly communication rich, but so often connection and love poor? A world in which every moment thousands of people are texting or speaking on mobile phones, but are often sad and lonely. Do we really give of our person to others in relationship with a quality that generates love? Or do we go away sad because our giving of ourselves lacks depth? Jesus' invitation is to leave and to follow, to live the gospel, to do the work of bringing in God's kingdom, God's transformative dream for the human and the earth community. This transformative dream of God that Jesus named kingdom is for right relationships in regard to our material realities, right relationships around time, right relationships around the gift of our very person. And such ethical living will turn our world upside down, just as Jesus identified that responding to his invitation would turn the world of those who took up the challenge upside down. And he uses some interesting metaphors about that. The first will be last, and the last will be first. The world is turned upside down. Another interesting image, that a camel will go through the eye of a needle, probably a small gate in the entry into the city of Jerusalem through which only people could enter on foot. And I think that's a wonderful image. I love that image of the camel trying to get through this narrow passageway that only a single file person could get through. A wonderful image of the impossible, the turning upside down of the world that the invitation of Jesus asks. We see this same invitation being put to us in so much of our culture round about us today. In the movie The Devil Wears Prada, Andrea has her simple but value-rich and ethical life turned upside down when she takes a job in the fashion industry. She acquires all these exquisite material resources. She has all her time eaten up by a demanding job and also by a demanding boss, so that she has no time with her family or friends, and she loses her very self so that there's none of herself to give in loving relationships. When she claims that she has no choice but to live this lifestyle, Her boyfriend challenges her claim and says, "Everyone has choices. Everyone has choices." Andrea, like the man in today's gospel, comes to a turning point when the two lifestyles are held up before her and she must make a choice. Will she allow her new high-flying life to be turned upside down? Al Gore, in the movie An Inconvenient Truth, which I saw at the same time as The Devil Wears Prada on a recent plane trip from San Francisco, one of the few times that I've watched two movies in a row, places before the human community a much more radical ethical choice in relation to God's transformative dream. Can we, will we live in right relationship with the human and the other than human communities of being for the survival of the very planet itself? Today's gospel takes us, therefore, to the very core of our being. What does it mean to live not just a good, but a responsible and ethical life? To allow our present to be turned upside down. This is a very demanding gospel. It's a very radical gospel. And it would sometimes feel as if it's impossible. But this is the challenge of the living and active Word of God, which goes to the very heart of our being, as that letter to the Hebrews, which we heard, suggests, to the place where the soul is divided from the spirit, where our joints are divided from the very marrow, places within ourselves that are too deep and too fine for us to see. And it's there that we cannot escape ourselves, nor can we escape that word of invitation that is in our scriptures today. It is there to that hidden place within that we are invited today. We take with us to that place the challenge of Jesus, the vision of the Basileia or the kingdom of God's transformative dream, the hard data and also the images and the metaphors from our culture and the very stuff of our daily lives. In that quiet inner place, we cannot escape. We are naked and laid bare, the letter to the Hebrews says. And it is there that we will be invited, like the man who questions Jesus, like Andrea in The Devil Wears Prada, like the world community in An Inconvenient Truth, to render an account. Impossible, we are tempted to say. It's too hard, it's too radical. It's maybe only for a few, it's for those people over there. But the gospel says no. With God, all things are possible. You can live a truly ethical life, and you can live it now. We can live it now. And we can imagine the future of inheriting eternal life. With God, all things are possible.